Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, Loveline, and again with us tonight, Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. Fred, thank you so much for spending the week with us. It's been a blast so far.
I love it.
I love it too. It's been a really good time.
Yeah, good guy.
Fred has got a new entertainment venture called Flawless. They've signed Puddle of Mud and Ringside and She Wants Revenge. And tomorrow night, we got a special visit from some of those guys.
Yeah, I think tomorrow night should be pretty amazing.
Yeah, Fred's been playing some of the music for me that we're going to hear tomorrow night. It really is going to be a very exciting night. We're going to have...
We'll have the singer of Ringside, Scott Thomas. He'll be in here performing a live song. And
with his Wurlitzer?
With his Wurlitzer, and it should sound nice and creamy. And we also have Wes from Puddle of Mud is going to come in with his acoustic and make our ears feel yummy.
In addition to that, I'm going to try to get these guys to sit down with Fred and answer some questions and talk to you guys.
That ought to be interesting.
That will be interesting. I've met the guys from Puddle of Mud. They are good guys. And I want to hear more about the story when you found them. We'll spring that on him.
We'll see how he interprets.
I won't say much about it tonight. But Fred, Wes tried to get. It was Wes, right?
Yeah.
Tried to get to Fred at a concert and was sort of escorted away, and left behind what we now know as Puddle of Mud. And Fred went on a quest.
Absolutely.
See if Wes actually believes that. Right now, Fred is working on a movie. He's in the pre-production stages of something called The Education of Charlie Banks. I have a woman I'm working with right now on a project for Discovery Health Channel who went to Vassar.
You're kidding.
And I brought this up, and I said, you know, Fred's doing a movie about Vassar in 1980. She went, that was an interesting time to be a man at Vassar.
That's what the script feels like. It was an amazing time.
Wow, that will be interesting. I said, damn, I went to Amherst College. I should have gone to Vassar. What the hell did I know? Any event, phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right to some of those calls. This is Jessica 18. Jessica, what's happening?
Hi. I've been with this guy for 3 years now, and I've never had an orgasm with him while we've been having sex.
Have you ever had you ever had any other way?
Well, we do it different positions and stuff, but I just...
No. Not have you ever had sex any other way. Have you ever had an orgasm any other way? Have you ever had an orgasm, period?
Yeah, I have.
While
having sex.
I'm confused. You have had it while having sex, just not with him?
No, I've never had it while I've had sex with anybody, but I've had it if guys are eating out. Or things like that, just never while having sex intercourse.
Okay, most women don't have orgasm with intercourse. Are you aware of that? Ever?
Really?
Yeah.
During sex?
During sex.
So then how come everybody's like, oh yeah, you know, and I don't know.
They're just talking. At least half. Some do. And obviously, we're talking about all women, so we're talking about many, many millions of people do, but many, many millions don't. And those that don't only have an orgasm with some sort of direct contact, like oral sex or something direct to the clitoris.
Is there any way that I can have an orgasm while having sex, or is it just that it's never going to happen?
That's probably, you know, people would argue about this, but there's been some research lately that showed that how you orgasm is genetically determined, and roughly 60% of the women never have an orgasm with intercourse, and you cannot convert you to someone who has multiple orgasms, say, with intercourse. That's a different biology. You weren't born with that. Nor can the person who has multiple orgasms with intercourse be converted into somebody who likes oral sex. That group tends to not like oral sex.
But she said, you said you have had an orgasm before having sex, or just from some other method?
Yeah.
What?
I can orgasm, but having sex.
How do you orgasm?
Either through oral sex or just touching myself.
Okay, well, there you go. That's you. That's your configuration. Now, I can't see you for sure.
I guess I was just asking because I didn't know if something was wrong with me. I asked my doctor, and she said that maybe I don't feel comfortable with my partner.
No. This is one of the unfortunate things about women's journals and things like that. They don't teach women that they don't support what's natural and normal in a woman. And, Jessica, you're completely normal. And you're otherwise happy with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you're having a good sex life. That's fine. That's all good. Okay?
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just kind of asking. I wasn't
sure.
Yeah,
and we're just telling you.
Okay. Thanks.
What bugs me is women walk around feeling flawed because they don't measure up to something they see in a porno or something. It's like, really. This is Dave. What's up, Dave?
Hi, guys. Good evening. I'm 24, and I've never really had much experience with going out with people, never really had a girlfriend. And in high school, I was really, really shy, and I've kind of overcome that to some extent. But now I'm 24, and I'm trying to get into the whole dating scene and actually try and get a girlfriend and such. I feel really inexperienced as compared to, like, everyone else that's around my age, and I'm not really sure how to approach things. Yeah, loser probably sums it up.
Why are you a loser?
Okay, maybe not loser completely. It's just something that never really seemed all that important to me until more recently, and I'm starting to think about the way I want my life to pan out eventually, and I really do see myself married someday.
Do you hear what I hear?
And, I'm just kind of looking for general advice about what to, you know, how do I deal with feeling inexperienced in dating as compared to pretty much everyone else my age.
True.
Dave, you sound like a robot to me.
Really?
You sound so detached and so unemotional. Your description was, well, I figured I better get on with this dating thing because, you know, you got to do that in order to one day have a wife and one day pan things out a certain way. That's not the reason people date. The reason people date is because they love to be around people. They are driven sexually to sort of be with people physically. And there is an urge and a drive and a desire to be connected to other people. And you don't seem to have that.
This conversation can serve no purpose.
And that's a little disconcerting.
Goodbye.
Now, okay. So the fact that you're a loner and you can't connect to other people is really more about your psychological makeup than being shy and not having any experience in dating. You had no desire to date.
You're right. Up until recently, I really didn't.
Well, recently, and your reason is part of an intellectual plan so you can have a wife and have children because things need to pan out that way. You still don't want to. It's just part of the deal. You have to do it in order to get the wife thing. And that's a little concerning to me. If you have trouble connecting as a human to other humans, it's a problem. I mean, it's something you really ought to look
into.
What
do you suggest?
That's time for therapy. You know, I mean, definitely go out there and date. Definitely, definitely. Just put yourself out there. I bet once you put yourself out there, it will not be that hard. I mean, you've got to be motivated to do these things. But if you have trouble sort of opening and being emotional and being empathic, all that stuff, something that... I mean, I'm sure there's somebody for Dave. I'm sure of it. But it's just troublesome that it's all sort of robotic.
I wonder what his occupation is. Dave, what's your occupation?
I'm a student again. I graduated from college once and then worked for a little over a year, and now I'm going back for another degree.
In?
My original degree was in liberal arts, and now I'm going back for computer science.
Computer, shocking. Shocking. All right. Look, Dave, just put yourself out there and see if you can't be a human and have relationships. And if you really have trouble doing that, that's the time to kind of talk to somebody about that. I think, here's the deal. You're supposed to enjoy this. You're something you're supposed to really have fun at and enjoy doing. I mean, it can be kind of cumbersome and grueling, and the rejection all can be unpleasant. But the reality is it's supposed to be something you want to do and something you enjoy. So pick people you want to be around and enjoy spending time with them.
How about computer dating? It seems like a perfect fit for them.
Exactly. Fine. You have all kinds of ideas about the cyberspace. Use it. Use it. This is Samantha. What's up, Samantha?
Hi. I have a question about my breath.
Came to the right guy. Fred Durst is here tonight. What can we do for you?
Bouncy.
Well, one of them is actually 3.5 sizes smaller than the other. And it's kind of a problem. Like,
by 3.5, what you mean, cup sizes?
Yes.
Give us the sizes.
My left breast is actually a 38D, mm-hmm. and my right one is a 32A.
Bouncy.
I'm 15, and I'm a freshman in high school, and, you know, like, we have to change in front of girls.
How can you have different... measurements around your chest?
I don't know.
Well, the 32 and the 38 references a tape measure around your chest. You can't be both 32 and 38.
Yeah, that was a really good comeback there. That was a good one.
Like, I actually have to set my bra, like, in order to not look all weird, like, you know, all deflated.
Okay. Now, you're 15. There can be asymmetry in the growth pattern, so maybe the other one will kind of come along. Mm-hmm. And asymmetry in size and directionality and that kind of stuff. Where's that book again? Oh, it's on the Jolly Genitalia. No. We used to have another plastic surgery book. Mm-hmm. And there definitely are remedies for this, and it's not uncommon for surgeons to do this, to try to bring the symmetry back. Basically, they'll put an implant in the one that's not as big as the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right.
Samantha?
Thank you.
Are you there?
Yeah. She said, all right, thank you.
Okay, good. All right. What's wrong with our phone lines, Anderson?
We're in different studios, Drew.
I guess that's right. Christina, what's happening? I'm with Fred Durst.
What's going on?
What's happening?
You have to be quiet for a second.
We do? Why?
Yes. Well, I'll tell you.
How come?
I'm making a drink. I'm not supposed to be drinking.
20 years old, huh?
What?
You're not 21.
Well, most certainly not.
Oh, how dare I? I'm begging your pardon.
She's sneaking to make a drink. So.
She's also smoking pot.
I have to be quiet because if they hear me making a drink, I get in trouble. So anyway.
Yeah?
Okay. I have a question. Well, naturally, that's why I called. This relationship I've been in for like almost a year now, I'm not completely bored, but I'm most certainly getting there. You know, the kind of waiting for sex things kind of driving me nuts. I'd kind of like to get it every day, if not every other day. So the whole waiting a week, you know, when it's convenient thing is kind of getting old. How do I, like, go around that?
How old is your boyfriend?
26.
And you're 20?
26.
You're 20?
Yeah.
Have you told him that you want more sex?
Yes.
And what does he say?
Oh, he's got a lot of stuff going on right now. He's got a company. He just bought a house. He's selling a condo. He's selling his car. He's
what do you think, Fred?
Roommates. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really give a crap.
I think she maybe isn't the priority in his life at this moment.
Maybe he's trying to get rid of her. Who knows? Or maybe he has other girls, Christina.
Oh, most certainly not.
Certainly not.
Well, would you think he just doesn't have that, you know, maybe he doesn't have that drive right now in his life. Maybe he gave it all up earlier. Is that a possibility?
26, a normal 26-year-old male should be still into it.
Yeah, I should think so. You know, the part that really bothers me is when I'm trying to do, you know, sexual things, he's like, what are you doing? What do you think I'm doing?
So what is it you like about this guy? Why are you in this relationship?
Well, because I care about him a lot. He cares about me most certainly. We love each other, but there's just...
I think if you say most certainly one more time, I'm going to hang up.
Sorry. I just don't think that...
Why so angry, Drew?
Frustrated, not angry.
Frustrated?
Christina, look. You need chaos. You're drinking at 20. You're sneaking alcohol. You're smoking pot, too, if I don't miss my bet right.
No.
Yeah, come on.
No, haven't smoked in like 2 years.
Okay, but you had a history with pot? Pretty extensive history with it. No?
No.
All right, I'm hearing something in your voice. What else are you doing besides alcohol?
That's it, actually.
Do you have a history with other things?
No, just alcohol. And this is the first time I drank in 10 days. That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not? No.
And then this guy is sort of, you're sort of angry and aggressive and hostile towards this guy. And you're with this relationship for unclear reasons. And who knows what is really going on here, what his reasons for sort of backing off and sort of checking out a little bit. This is not a good situation. I don't know why you're still with this guy. Yes, he cares about you. I'm sure lots of people in your life care about you. That's not necessarily a reason to maintain a romantic relationship. But again, I'm looking in my crystal ball, Christina, and I don't like what I'm seeing here.
But everything else is fine. I mean, you can't.
I don't like what I'm seeing. Yeah,
At least that's what I've been told.
So what would you like from us?
I'd like to know how to have more sex, because everybody else that calls has a problem with sex. I don't have a problem. I just want more.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to deliver, so That's between you and he. And he's not willing to deliver that. You've asked for it. He's not up to that. He doesn't want to do that right now.
Well, not necessarily.
And you're angry.
Like sex. How do you get more?
Christina, I'm looking at my crystal ball. I don't like what I'm seeing here. This is not going to be a pretty life. It really isn't. No, I'm dead serious about this. I feel like Simon, what's his name? Somebody's done.
Yeah,
somebody's
American calls. Idol.
Yeah. This you're going to be pretty seriously strung out on alcohol within the next 6 years. And I see a lot of chaotic, disturbed relationships coming ahead.
How so?
I'm just saying, if I don't know what the chaos has been that you grew up with, that you need this kind of chaos, or what happened, but you seem to need chaos, you're angry, aggressive.
Where are you getting all this stuff from?
You're drinking excessively at a very young age. And why is that funny?
I have no idea where you're getting all this from. Is like an explanation behind all this, or just the crystal ball?
It's 20. You're 20 years old.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. It's middle of the week.
It's Tuesday.
And you're drinking.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not normal. You're stinking alcohol. You're angry and aggressive with somebody that cares about you and speaking in very dispassionate and non-empathic terms about a relationship that allegedly is a very caring relationship. What happened when you were growing up? Was there a lot of chaos in your home?
Not chaotic, and not necessarily normal, but
yeah. So a lot of that chaos is now reflected in your personal psychology. Did people hit you when you were growing up? A lot of physical sort of stuff?
Nope.
Nobody ever picked up an object and struck you with it?
Not intentionally.
What does that mean?
No, no one's ever beat me, if that's the question, no.
I'm asking if anybody ever picked up an object and struck you with it.
Yeah.
Okay. And why did they do that?
My brother had ADD. We were playing football. I got struck with a stick. But
okay, your parents never...
No.
Never hit you. What was the chaos you grew up with?
Parents divorced when I was two.
Why?
Remarried.
Why did they divorce?
Why did they divorce? I don't know.
Okay. Dad, so you got to look into that. What?
Dad was a loser, I guess.
And where is he now?
Nevada, actually.
And what's his deal?
Remarried another kid, I believe.
Okay, so he's out of your life. And how has the stepdad been?
Stepdad?
Mm-hmm.
I used to be close, not anymore. My parents had another child when I moved out when I was 18.
Mm-hmm. So he was an okay guy, but the original dad was no good.
Yeah, no.
Okay, that affects you. That can affect you.
He was a good guy.
All right.
I've had my stepdad since I was two, so he's a pretty good guy.
All right. The biological dad will tend to wire you up in such a way. Again, depends on how much chaos there was up to the age of two. If it was bad, you will seek that chaos. And
really?
It will tend to sort of compel you towards guys that are unavailable. And here's the case. Here you are now with a guy that's not available in the way you need him. And you're not willing to look at that. You're not willing to do anything about that. That's fine. I'm looking at my crystal ball. I see a succession of guys that provide a lot of chaos for you and who are not available. And I see a lot of alcohol in response as a way of trying to regulating your feelings. I imagine that dad that's in Nevada is an alcoholic. I suspect you've inherited that gene. And it's just not going to be pretty. And you being a smart ass and being sort of hostile and aggressive, it's not going to be a pretty life. It's not going to be pretty. So something to kind of look into. So start to look at things. Start to examine things and to take responsibility for things that do happen in your life. What do you think?
Well, I think that was a lot of information. I'm just watching you speak and taking it all in.
Here's something you can do for yourself. A, don't go for guys that are not available. Don't go for guys that are exciting and chaotic. And if the alcohol does begin to spiral out of control, which I can, having dealt with many, many thousands of alcoholics, I smell it when I see it coming. Get yourself to a program. Get in treatment. And
it's
definitely kind of
a turnoff, though, when a girl's, you know, demanding like that if you're not on
guys,
the same page.
Guys are withdraw from that. That kind of hostility and aggression makes guys just shrink.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, that sort of dismissive, smart ass, drinking, all that, that's going to make most guys kind of continue to push back.
I agree.
Yeah. So here is Dan. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You're home with Fred Durst.
Yeah, actually, my question is for you, Fred. You actually helped me through the time I want to talk to Dr. Drew about with the CD Significant Other. That was excellent.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I could help.
Yeah, my my concern right now is, I guess today, the priest at my high school was charged with sexual molestation, and I'm in. I graduated a while ago. I graduated in 01. I was really close with him in high school. I had some bad things happen in high school where we had mandatory counseling with him. I want to be able to stand behind him, say that he's a good guy. I'm just not really sure how to go about it at this point.
Do you think these are just allegations, or do you think he actually did something?
See, that's where the problem's kind of coming in. There's really no way to know. I mean, it was within the past 2 years. Apparently, it was about 2 years ago that it happened.
I think you should stand up and just state the facts as you know them, which is this is a guy that has been important in your life. You don't know whether he did anything bad or not with somebody else, but for you, he's been a good guy. He's been effective and important, and it sounds like a very key figure in your life.
Yeah, he was huge. He helped me through a really difficult time, and there was a pretty large group of us that he helped.
What are you afraid of if you stand up and say that?
Well, mainly what I'm afraid of is I don't want to pressure a kid who actually had something happen to him. Because I know if I do it, I'm fairly confident that anyone else that at least, you know, was graduated around me who was influenced by him in a positive light.
What do you mean pressure kids? Whoa. What do you mean pressure kids that I understand?
Well, the person who came out and actually has these allegations.
Yeah.
Who's saying these things. I mean, if it's true, he has every right in the world to demand justice for what happened to him.
Yeah, but listen, don't withhold something you know to be true just because somebody else has stood up and said, you know, listen, it's not easy sometimes to stand up and say things that are sort of maybe not in keeping with the current trend. Whatever the winds are blowing, you're going to stand up in the middle of all that and say, hey, by the way, I just so you know, I experienced something different. I think it's really important that you do that. Both for your own peace of mind, knowing that you've supported somebody important. And secondly, it could be critically important for him. But just to stand up and just state it as you experienced it, that this guy, maybe he did something, you don't know. But what you do know, that he was a good guy. And no one can fault you for stating the facts. And so let's suppose the guy is a bad guy and he's proven for having done something wrong. Would you have done yourself harm by standing up and saying, hey, the guy helped me? He may, you know what? No, even if he did something evil. It's something we have trouble with on this show. He's not a totally evil person. He was actually able to help some people. And that's all, you know, that's part of the thing about being a human being. Humans are good and bad. And hopefully this guy isn't as bad as we think he might be. But at least you can stand up and say what you do know about him.
Yeah, you'll be one of the positive sides, you know, to this whole thing going on.
I think you got to stand up.
How do I go about saying, and like, do I tell him, you know, or who do I contact to say?
I don't know. I would think you do.
Situation.
Why don't you call the school? Call the school and say, hey, I heard what's going on there. Call the dean or the director of the school, whatever, and say, I need you to know this guy was really important in my life and he was a good guy. And there are a lot of us that feel that way. Can we be of help to him? Do you want to hear this side of the story? And just lay it out there. Fred Durst in here with us tonight, guys. Give us a call, 1-800-LOVE-191. You know him from Limp Bizkit. We're going to hear, Ringside song tonight?
I think tonight we should hear...
Why don't we hear Oasis song?
An Oasis song, yeah.
Because Ringside we're going to get tomorrow night live.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and didn't you say if he couldn't get in here, we're going to hear one from the album and we're going to hear one live tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So maybe during the next segment we'll... All right,
you never know, man.
We'll play it by ear. But Oasis is coming up soon. Fred Durst in here with us tonight. We'll be right back.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Loveline will be right back.
That's it. Fred Durst in here on Loveline. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Puddle of Mud, Ringside, coming in here tomorrow night. We're thinking about a surprise song before the Oasis song. You know Fred from Limp Bizkit, and here is Crystal. What's up, Crystal?
Hey, I just had a question. I've been an IV user for about, like, 2 years, mm-hmm. 2 or 3. And I just wondered, like, whenever I haven't got the drug into my vein, like, it bubbles up under my skin, and it kind of hurts real bad. I just didn't know exactly what it was doing.
Depends what you're shooting. What are you using?
I use meth, and sometimes I use coke.
Coke is actually much more damaging to the soft tissue when it gets out. It's a very powerful vascular constrictor, so it cuts off the blood supply to basically the whole area around where it extrudes out of the vein. And you can, the skin, all the soft tissue can break down, you can get a big ulcer. Meth is very irritating, and cause scarring. You can get infections like a cellulitis, but the meth itself is not as bad a deal as the cocaine. So is Crystal your acronym, or is Crystal just what you like to do?
Yeah.
Crystal's just what you like to do.
Okay.
How about a little treatment for that, my dear, before you die of this thing?
I know. I've actually cut back a lot. Like, it's just really hard to just really let go of.
Hey, Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
No. There, unfortunately, there's no cutting back from this.
Well, I mean, compared to what I used to do, I rarely, rarely get high anymore. I'm going back to school and stuff. It's just...
Crystal?
Yeah.
You're going to die of addiction if you keep shooting things into your vein. IV drug users rarely see 40. Okay? Unless they stop completely and stay stopped. Kidney disease, heart infection, strokes. I'm looking at my crystal ball that I've been consulting all night, and I see bad medical problems because that is guaranteed with IV drug use.
Okay. Well, also,
that's if you avoid HIV and hepatitis C and all those good things.
Yeah. Well, on top of all that, I have diabetes and cystic fibrosis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm really trying to stop. I know it's really
bad. So you're going to be on dialysis before you're out of your 20s, right? You know I'm right about that, right?
No, you know, I'm trying to quit.
Hang on. You know I'm right about that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not the first doctor to have told you that.
No.
Okay. So we're not, I didn't make it up. I didn't consult with some other doctors. I know that happens because I've treated diabetic stimulant addicts and they all end up without their kidneys.
Okay.
All right. Please. We'd like to see you on this planet. Recovery is kind of a nice thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing.
I just wanted to tell Fred that I love him. I think he's really, really hot.
Then Fred has something to tell you.
That's really nice of you, but I have to say that you know, it's really hard for me to hear about somebody who has that problem or those types of problems. It's so heavy, and regardless of your reasoning, there is no reasons to do that. You have to stop because it is very, very ugly and very tragic. And if anything I can say to help, just stop tonight, man. Just quit right now and go through the pain you go through to get off it. It's just not worth it. I mean, you sound really sweet on the phone. You should just quit immediately.
The world will have lost something without you, my dear.
Okay. Thank you.
Right on. Bye-bye. Yep.
That's hard, man.
Addiction is, you know, you don't want people to have any kind of diseases. And addiction is the most common one of our time that just takes young people out. Danielle, what's up?
Just have to say I'm a big fan of Fred's. Huge, huge, huge fan. My best friend has bought me T-shirts over the internet from Chocolate Starfish from England and everything. Just big fan. Saw you in concert with Eminem and everybody. You guys were amazing. Made my whole day.
Merci beaucoup.
Just wanted to know when Puddle of Mud's going to be coming out with a new album. When can we expect something from them, or maybe you writing a song for them or something?
I don't know exactly when, but I think Wes might be visiting us tomorrow night. So
yeah, we're going
to
ask him.
Maybe we'll ask him, you know.
Absolutely.
Try to get another call into him tomorrow night.
In keeping with our theme, we're only going to talk to people named Crystal. Crystal, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Fred. Big fan.
Hey.
I have a question. I've been dating this guy for about a month, and he turned around today and asked me if I would marry him. And I'm like freaking out.
You should be. How old? Run. Call the police. How old is this guy?
He's 22.
22. Has he ever had a girlfriend?
No, he's actually still a virgin.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Why is he so inexperienced, do you think?
I don't know. He just, like, when he was younger, he wasn't, I guess you could say he wasn't the most brilliant person.
What does that mean? He failed out of school?
He did a lot of drugs and a lot of alcohol abuse. And
Is he recovering?
He's still on parole and everything.
That's not about being smart or dumb. That's about being a drug addict.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's an addict. Is he in recovery?
Yes, he is.
Okay, and he has a sponsor? He's working a program?
Oh, yeah. He's doing all the steps. And, like, I'm really proud of him for that. I've, like, known him
for a good.
Year.
Well, why don't you tell him to talk, ask him to talk to his sponsor first before he makes any commitments of this nature. See what he gets back, and they'll tighten his chain a little bit. Reel him in.
It, like, totally freaked me out, but at the same time, I was like, you know, I felt bad because I told him no.
Good.
Because, like, at this point in time, like,
the right decision.
I'm like,
hey, Crystal, perfect. Relax. No is Fred. No.
Yeah, and don't feel bad at all. You know, it's reeking of a no. You need a no.
He needed a little reality check. He got it. Send him back to a sponsor to talk about it and keep dating the guy. That'll be fine.
Okay, thank you guys.
All right. Crystal runs away happy. Let's talk to James, who's of all things, he's from North Carolina, just like Fred Durst. God darn, hold on a second there. James, what's happening there?
Nothing much. Dr. Drew, I got a question for you.
Well, you're going to have to talk to me and Fred.
Okay, well,
one of your statesmen.
What's up, Fred?
What's up?
I've been in relationships. I totally agree about the marriage after year 20. No doubt. I've been married twice in my 20s. Okay.
I want you to put on your best North Carolina accent for James.
Hey, dog. Hey, man. Hey, for real, dog. Hey, how long you been? I mean, what are you trying to ask us for out here, man?
Well, what I'm trying to ask is, all right, the two marriages that I was in, we tried to have children, okay? And I check out healthy, and they check out healthy.
What do you mean you check out healthy? You've got a sperm count?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
They had a clean bill of health and everything from OBGYN and everything.
Yeah.
And no children, all right? I'm in a relationship right now. With a girl, I just proposed to her.
Oh, three's a charm, sir. Well, God has been smiling on you. There have been no children. Let's all thank God for that. Secondly, you were married for about 8 minutes, so you didn't give much of a chance.
Oh, I was married for a while.
How long?
I was with my first wife for like 8 years. We only was married 5 months.
How long were you having sex with her?
The whole time.
And you're not using any protection?
Nope.
All right. So there was something wrong there. Something probably wrong with your guys' makeup together, or maybe with her or you. How did you, you had a fertility workup?
Yeah.
Why, that doesn't make sense to me.
It couldn't be timing. There's no way they could have missed that.
Oh, yeah, it could be. But what doesn't make sense to me is that he would, at his age, have had a fertility workup. What were the circumstances you went to a fertility specialist?
Because I wasn't able to produce a child.
And so with your second wife, you went to a fertility specialist?
No, I went to it with my first one.
And what'd they tell you?
They told me I was fine.
That you went,
had
you
a
gave,
high
you,
count.
You gave a specimen, you had a high count, and what else did they do? They did a full workup on her?
Well, she went to OBGYN too.
Did no.
Okay, because she had missed
James?
Her period and all that, blah, 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 blah. And
did you see, not an OBGYN, did you see a fertility specialist?
With my second wife?
With either wife.
With my first wife.
With either wife.
Either one, dude.
The first one.
Yeah, did you see one at all, period? I mean, have you ever seen one, a fertility fertility specialist?
Yes, yes.
Okay, and what kind of workup did they do on your wife?
She missed her period.
No, James.
Oh, I don't know what kind of workup they did on her.
Right, okay, that's fine. You got to find out what actually has been done. And these are very complicated workups. There may have been just, you know, luck. Again, God may have just been smiling on you. And
so that does exist.
Oh, time. Of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's 8 years of
whatever. He just got lucky. And or there may have been something mildly wrong between the two of them or something, you know, some immune reaction of her to his sperm. Who knows what? There's lots and lots and lots of different problems that can go on. What is it? 30 million people have fertility problems. Is that what I was seeing the other day? I mean, it's so, so common. And there's many different steps in the process from the production and release of sperm, production and release of an egg, to the whole process of uniting those two. There's millions of things can go wrong. And that all needs to be sort of worked through if you continue to have problems with the third wife here. Now, there's nothing more we can really say than that because if you had a workup, which apparently you didn't, you had a sperm count. That was then. Maybe it's the same now. Maybe it isn't. There's really a lot more systematic work that needs to be done here. I suspect that it's really just one of those things.
And if a guy goes to a specialist and he can have a child, does that ever change? That change?
Sure, absolutely.
It can just go away.
You can go away. You can have all kinds of problems. And by the way, the sperm count isn't the whole story. So there's a lot of things that you've looked at in terms of how the sperm relates to the egg. Whether it can penetrate it, capacity, all this kind of stuff. Anyway, phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. I'd like to hear a song from Ringside.
I say that sounds like a good idea.
Go ahead and send us out to that.
All right, you people out there on the airwaves, Love Line tonight. We got a brand new artist coming your way. They're called Ringside. You can check them out on ringsideband.com, and this song's called Struggle.
Kicking up a landslide. Close shave, now he's back on the flip side. Stretch taxi, gonna fly me to the Hollywood Bowl. It's a bitch, Jack, when you need some feedback. You hang while they hold you and you never get the ring back. But I like you best when you're down with the rest of us. Get some insight. Knock it back, Jack. You're faded, but you're alright. Make sense of this mess. I'm just taking the piss out of you.
That's Ringside. The song is Struggle. Fred Durst involved with these guys, and we're going to hear, and you and I are going to see, that singer tomorrow night here live performing on Loveline, along with lead singer Puddle of Mudd, Wes from Puddle of Mudd. We're really looking forward to that. But in the meantime, Fred and I are going to take a little break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Give us your calls, and we'll be right back.
Loveline.
Loveline will be right back.
Here we go. It's Loveline. Fred Durst in here with us tonight, of course, from Limp Bizkit, 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get right back to those calls. This is Mike 19. Mike, what's happening there?
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
Yeah, I got a question. You're talking about attractions a lot, and see, my girlfriend's dad was abusive, and he was an alcoholic, and she said he had some drug problems, and my dad was the same way, and I'm not that way, but I was just wondering if she thought if maybe that's why she was attracted to me or anything like that.
I think she sees potential in you.
Oh, okay.
She sees someone who could be like that.
Okay.
You see?
I told myself a long time ago that I wasn't going to be like him. Like, he wasn't in my life from, like, about 17.
Yeah.
But now I'm living with him and trying to get to know him, and I'm working at the same place as him. And the more I see of how he is, the more I don't want to be like him.
Good. Like, you doing drugs?
I used to. I don't anymore.
See, she sees potential here. You drinking?
I drink.
Yep,
for
she's
like
found her man. She's found her man. She's done it. She's done her work. Her
no,
instincts
I only
have
drink
served
like
her well.
Once or twice a year.
Well, I'm kind of teasing you, but the reality is that what she is probably attracted to is some deep quality that you have is reminiscent of her dad, and indeed you are an addict. You have a history of drugs and alcohol, and right now it's in remission or it's under control, which is great. But you have that sort of biology, and she feels very attached to people with that biology. And she sees somebody who got potential to sort of reenact. Are you there? He just skipped off the line. Anyway, potential to reenact some of that stuff. That's right now it's not happening. Fantastic. But it's that sometimes some people get a touch of the people that are like that, even though what they see is, well, he's not drinking, he's not using, he's nothing like my dad. Even though, if you really scratch under the surface, mm-hmm. he used to use, he kind of has that momentum going, could easily come back, and that's that potential they're sort of looking for. Kelly, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
You're on with Fred Durst.
What's going on? I was just wondering, my boyfriend has HPV, and we've...
Good times?
I've only had oral with him wearing a condom, but it takes, like, a really long time, you know, for him to get off with it. I was wondering if it would be okay or safe if he didn't wear a condom.
I can't say it's totally safe. It'd probably be okay. But, Kelly, there's a vaccine coming so soon. I was talking to a drug rep tonight or either today in my office, and I don't want to divulge the company, but I'm hearing that they're training their sales force on the distribution of these HPV vaccines. They weren't supposed to tell me that, but I got the inside scoop on that. So I know it's coming soon, and I beg them to please call me the moment this thing is released so we can begin talking about it on the air. So there will be a vaccine for that virus very shortly. Try to hang in until that vaccine becomes available, okay?
And that should be, like, pretty soon, then?
It's going to be very soon. And by the way, I was outraged. This woman goes, you know, I talked to another doctor, and she rendered an opinion that this vaccine is going to be a horrible thing for young people because vaccinating them against some HPV is going to give them an excuse to become sexually active, promiscuous.
Mm.
I thought, oh, my God. Oh, my God, physicians are thinking this way? That they, where in the world is there any evidence that that's the case?
Right.
There's just none. It's just so frustrating. Anyway, it will be able to protect against cervical cancer. The virus that causes cervical cancer is the wart virus or the HPV, and there will be a vaccine against that shortly. So everybody
that's
just
incredible.
Use condoms if you're with somebody who's got that until we can get that damn thing going. Can you believe that? That's going to create promiscuity, protecting people against cervical cancer?
Well, I would imagine that there's going to be people coming out from all sides against about anything that's about to come that's like a new miracle thing like that.
What the hell? What? No, it's almost anything that has to do with sex people just flip out about.
Yes. definitely probably trying to put a blanket over human nature is some people's motive, I think.
Well, the horse is out of the barn. If they wanted to, you know what I mean? The activity is there. We need to help people contain it and do healthy things and behave in a healthy way. But to sort of claim that things that are going to protect health are going to somehow, you know, make people more sexually active. There's almost nothing that could make people more sexually active than they already are right now. You know what I'm saying? The horse is out of the barn. And maybe an understanding of the risks and how to manage them and all that is going to at least create less consequence. All right, the phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We got Fred Durst in here again tonight. Tomorrow night we're going to have Ringside and Puddle of Mud with Fred. But right now we're going to take yet another quick break and come back with your calls after this. Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Fred Durst in here with us tonight. He's picked out an Oasis song that we're going to hear in a little while. We got Ringside, Puddle of Mud coming in tomorrow night with Fred. And let's get right on with things. This is Monique, hopefully. Monique, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's happening?
Okay, I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, my question is, me and my boyfriend, we have an STD, right?
What do you have?
We have chlamydia.
Chlamydia?
Chlamydia, yeah, whatever that's called.
Chlamydia, okay.
And we want to know if we could still have sex. We're getting treated already. We're almost done with
treatment. You're both taking antibiotics. What are you taking?
We're taking, what is that called?
Doxycycline? Okay.
That's what it is.
All right, and you've been on that how long?
We're almost done with a week. It's almost a week.
Yeah, you
week?
Should be fine. You should be fine. It's all good.
It's all good?
Yeah. Enjoy.
Drew, you want them to have kids? What are you doing?
No, what are you... It's at least two years
before they can have sex, right?
No, by my estimation, it's 12 years. But what are you guys using for birth control?
For birth control, on the pill.
You're on the pill. There you go, Anderson. See? We're protected.
Well,
yeah, but
that?
She probably doesn't take it, let's be honest.
You take the pill every day at the same time?
Yes.
What pill are you on?
On the, what did I think
of? See, she got to ask him.
I know, yeah.
I stopped taking it because I messed up because I started smoking cigarettes again.
All right, so you're not on the pill.
Sound like it.
Not only that, by the way, the tetracycline, the doxycycline can screw up the effectiveness of the pill. So you got to be wearing a condom the rest of the month anyway. So... let's pay attention to the birth control more than the antibiotics right now, okay?
Okay, doctor.
I don't mean don't take your antibiotics. I mean before you have sex, you make sure you don't have baby.
And maybe quit this smoking.
I know, it's at 18 or whatever she is. Sarah, what's up? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hi. I really want to know, Dr. Drew, what your sign is. And Fred, you too. I thought I could take some really good guesses, though. But Dr.
Okay.
Drew, I'm stumped.
You're stumped?
Yeah. Mm. What is your sign?
Let's see. I like, I have a very messy room, but to me it's completely organized. I know where everything is.
Messy, but organized?
Organized in my mind. Sort of perfectionistic.
You are? Are you a Virgo?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would have said a Virgo, too.
You would have? The messy but organized, that threw me off, because Virgos are usually really...
Yeah, the Virgos are usually not messy.
But there there is a version of it.
Do you believe in that?
Huh? No.
But, you don't?
No, I don't. But whatever.
I'm
very open-minded. Nah, it just doesn't fit. You know, they've been looking at it since the Renaissance quite carefully, and I don't see where it correlates too much.
Wait,
but who
Aquarius?
Knows?
I'm not an Aquarius.
Because one time I read that Aquarius has that annoying habit of getting up to adjust the video camera every 10 minutes during sex, and I just thought that might be you.
Yeah, you know, usually that's the way it goes, but...
He just sets up the video once and lets it run.
I set it up and kind of... Actually, I don't use video cameras. No, I'm not.
Are you what?
I'm not a Gemini.
Gemini.
What are you?
I am a Leo.
You are?
Yeah.
I love Leo.
Dope.
You guys are great. I love you both for very different reasons, and I appreciate the show. Thanks for being on. You guys are great.
What are you doing now with your life?
I just moved to San Luis Obispo, California with a Leo.
With a Leo? How dare you? It's not Fred. And what are you doing there?
Right now I'm a waitress. I'm going to be an elementary teacher probably in the fall. Cool. Got all my stuff together.
Were you waitressing just for the fun of it?
Really? Should I say?
Why is this not? Kathy Griffin?
Where?
It's a little bar and grill called the Black Sheep in San Luis.
Black Sheep. So everyone in San Luis, or San Luis Obispo, that's right, you don't like saying San Luis.
Yeah.
If you're a Leo, or even if you're not, go into the Little Black Sheep, is that what it's called, and say hi to Sarah. Okay?
Yeah, you guys are great. I hope you have a great Tuesday. I love you both.
All right, take care now. She sounds very delightful. This is Claudia. Claudia, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay. Okay, question. I did say on the screening, whatever, when they asked me to, what was my question about me having random sex with different guys, because they kept on hanging up on me because I wanted to ask actually about being a meth addict.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it probably does tie into it somehow, but yeah, I'd rather hear the meth one better.
Tell me, what's the question?
Okay. I've been, doing meth for a while already. I used to be on it when I was in high school, and then I stopped just out of nowhere. And then I started up again. But, you know, a lot of people don't really know why they're doing it. I'm sorry, I'm scared right now. I'm shaking.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I don't want to do it no more. But,
So you're saying, like every other meth addict, you're just doing it and you can't really explain rationally why. You just have to do it.
No, I feel like, that's the thing. I think I would know why because I read a lot about, the whole
psychology. Okay, why then? Why?
Because I'm shaking really bad right now. You're right. I don't know.
Okay, that's why people do stimulants, because their brain says you have to.
Mm-hmm.
That stimulant is one of these drugs that is just incredibly powerful in terms of the drive it creates. We behave as humans precisely like lab animals in relation to stimulants once you trigger addictive pathology. We use until we die. Very simple.
Yeah.
We use it. The lab rats given, the genetically prone to addiction rats that are given free access to cocaine will use until death. Humans use until they run out or until they can't do anymore. If they have enough, they'll use until they die.
Okay, usually, because I was reading your book, when you say that, usually they need something that to just hit them hard, they get the whole point, and they're going to either lose something important in their life.
Right, or they're going to die. That's what usually gets through to people.
Okay,
that's
get close to that point, we'll
but you're clearly not having any clarity short of that point, though.
Yeah, I know, I'm just scared.
Well, you're busy denying that it's really an issue.
It is an issue, and I know it is. That's the thing. I just don't want to be dealing with it no more. I don't even feel good no more when I do it.
I know, but yet you keep doing it. Yeah. And you start picking at your skin and start thinking people are talking about you and all that lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of sucks. Go get some treatment. Fred, talk to Claudia. Make her get treatment. She won't listen to me.
Okay, Claudia, you're going to get treatment. You're going to wake up tomorrow and do it, and it's going to happen. You're going to recover, and you're going to quit being a meth addict.
It's that easy, Claudia. I think, Fred, you ought to become a hypnotist. You ought to just become a hypnotist. You've got that kind of voice.
Yeah, I've got a voice.
You're now under my power, under my spell.
All right, well, thanks, and yes, rock on both of you.
All right, Claudia, listen. Yeah, you're the second patient or person tonight we're talking to that the world is going to miss.
Yes.
You're not quite as close to the end as Crystal was, but you're going down a bad path here. Let's do something about that, all right?
Yeah, and I don't even want to be like...
Yeah, I know you don't, so let's do something about it, okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, your brain won't let you do it by yourself. It's not possible.
I wonder if a lot of drug addicts or people like that actually have the opportunity. I've always wondered, the people I've seen on drugs, have someone videotape them while they're completely strung out and then watch yourselves. A lot of people, I don't think, have that opportunity to watch themselves.
Just so you know how powerful the addictive disease is, I've had patients whose family tape recorded them doing stuff. And their reaction is to get furious with their family for hiring an actor to act like that, to make them believe that that's what they were doing.
Hmm.
I mean, that's how powerful the denial is. They will anything not to come in contact with.
Even seeing themselves.
Well, I've never had dealt with the video, but with the tapes, they find a way to slip out from under it. How dare you hire somebody to make me think I behave like that when in fact, of course, I don't. Hmm. Seeing the tapes, they may see something totally different than what you show them. That's how powerful the disease is. No. It distorts everything. Sarah, what's up?
Sarah?
Hello? Hi, we're on with Fred Durst.
Oh, sorry. Okay. So I've been in this relationship for about 2.5 years, and I'm not really happy. I've tried to leave many times, and for some reason, I keep getting back with my boyfriend, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out, sometimes I think, you know, I just want to live with him for the rest of my life and this type of things, but the next
day, you're 19, for crying out loud. Yeah. What's the hurry? What are you doing with your life?
I'm going to college, and I'm working.
What are you studying?
Right now, I'm doing my prerequisite.
Right now, bad sign. Right now, whenever he starts with, well, right now, she's not going to say I'm in medical school.
Well, okay. I'm planning to get my RN, so.
All right. Why don't you stay focused on that and get less focused on having a man solve your life for you or make meaning out of your life?
I know, and I've actually, like, gone as far as to, like, a month ago, I actually planned a whole trip to go to Hawaii to get away from him because, like, I can't get out of the relationship. I just can't keep going back and listening to him. And
why?
I don't know. Because I keep believing what he says and thinking that I actually... You know,
give us an example of something. Give us an example of something he says that pulls you back in.
Well, he brings up like the things that he's done for me in the past. You know, he's like, I try my best. I don't know. I'm always there for you. My parents kicked me out when I was like 17.
Guilt trip.
And yeah, basically, you
it's,
know,
it's
like,
more than that. It's more than the girl. It's really codependency because she sees the hurt little boy that was sick of by his mm-hmm. parents. Sarah, some grown man you're dealing with, not a hurt little boy. Grown man, and an a-hole, by the way, and who manipulates you because he knows that you see that injured part of him and he's using that as a way of controlling you. Break it. Come on. And don't go to Hawaii because you want to get away from him. Go to Hawaii because you want to go to Hawaii.
Well, yeah, that was part of it, too. But
yeah, go do what you
want
to do.
I actually even just, you know, like I had the ticket and everything, and I actually stayed because he convinced me to, you know, and I feel like I'm stupid. I always stand back and I look
at myself stupid.
And I'm like,
you're not stupid, but you didn't hear anything I just said. So Fred, you take a crack at it.
I mean, you nailed it on the head. I mean, that's it right there. Like, he's manipulating you and making you feel extremely guilty and you're buying into this, and you know, you're going to have to figure out that if you comprehend exactly what Dr. Drew's saying and I'm saying right now, because that is the case, and you should just break it off and just move on.
Okay? Focus on your studies. Focus on building your life.
I know. That's what my parents always tell me.
Your parents are absolutely right. Are these your biological parents?
My mother, yeah. It's my stepfather.
Where's your dad?
Well, my real father, he's in prison. I haven't seen him for years.
Okay. Well, that's what you're still trying to solve right now with this current criminal. This guy that you call your boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
He's your dad. You know what I mean? This is your version of your dad that you've recreated for your present life. Mm-hmm. A manipulative guy. That's what your dad was.
He is a lot like my stepfather, actually, who has been with me since I was like 1 year old. So I call him my father.
You call your your stepfather your father. But I suspect this guy's more like your biological father.
You never want to be with anybody who you feel sorry for, and that's just never a reason to stay with anyone.
Yeah, that was
ever.
Like one of the reasons why we even became friends.
Here's what codependency is in a nutshell. This is a very, very sort of a sanitized, sort of condensed version of it. But basically, you have an injured piece of you, Sarah, whatever it is. Your dad left when you were one, whatever it is. Something injured you.
Mm-hmm.
And it left a piece of you behind. And that piece sees the injured piece in him and goes, oh, my God, I feel that so deeply, his pain. I got to make it stop. Because I know it so vividly that it triggers my pain. So I got to go fix him in order to make the pain stop in me. You don't really see it that vividly, but that's what you're doing. That's pathological. That's not healthy. That's a bad relationship. Okay?
Okay. Do you think, I used to smoke marijuana, like when I was like 13, for about a year until I got caught by my parents and, you know, that whole thing stopped. And then when we got back together, he actually got me back into it. And now I'm like a heavy smoker. We smoke every day. And I'm thinking maybe that might have something to do with it. Also, like, my dependency on marijuana and connecting it back to him.
You know, I don't know you, Sarah, but I'm suspicious that you're actually not even a marijuana addict. You're just such a severe codependent. Codependents do this sometimes. They take on the drug of, of the person they're involved with.
Because
you don't strike me as a marijuana addict. You might be. But I just suspect you're so severely codependent of this guy that you've even taken on his drug for him. So this is about as bad as it gets. You need to really work on this. And if you can't, again, with many calls we've ended tonight, you've got to get some help with this. Because this is a bad, bad situation. Not going to end up, again, pulling out that crystal ball. You see it here, Fred? It's right in front of me.
I see it. It's crystal clear.
It's crystal clear. And what's crystal clear to me is that Sarah's got a very muddy future. Here is, here's Joey. What's up, Joey?
Okay, sometimes when I go pee, I feel like I'm orgasming. Like, I stand at the stall, and I'm peeing, and it almost feels like it. So I want to know if that's normal, if I should get to check it out, or what's going on.
Well, now, although I don't think you're bogus, what do you mean is that normal? Think every guy standing there peeing feels like he's having an orgasm?
Well, I mean, if I'm having an orgasm, it's supposed to be like when I'm having an orgasm, you know?
Yeah, that's generally the way it works, Joey. But so you think every guy that's peeing feels like he's having an orgasm?
Not every time I pee. Like
no, so what would be normal about that? How could that possibly be normal?
Say that again?
Maybe he didn't mean to ask if it was normal.
I know, he's busting his chops a little bit. But because I know he's not, I have a feeling he's not bogus. This is too creative a call for one of our listeners.
No, seriously, I'm not bogus.
I know, I bet it's serious. And are you on medication?
No, I'm not.
Nothing, don't take anything.
No, like maybe if anything, maybe I'm just like a little bit overweight, I guess.
Yeah, that shouldn't do it.
How long has this been going on?
Maybe like 2 years, I'd say. Like, yeah.
It's a long time.
I would definitely look into it. It may just be some prostate inflammation or something. No medication at all, huh?
No.
That sounds like a medication reaction to me. But feels like you're having an orgasm. Are you actually having one?
Well, I mean, no sperm comes out.
But do you feel like you're having one?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly?
Well, I'm not going to say exactly, but it feels like, to a certain extent, it feels like when, you know, like, kind of pleasurable.
Is it only when you don't pee for a very long time?
No.
Because I won't pee sometimes half a day just to get that feeling.
Tell me more, Anderson. Come on, keep it going,
you know,
buddy.
The feeling I'm talking about. It's a good feeling.
No, I know. It feels good to hold your pee and then pee a lot. It
feels
like a relief.
Better than an orgasm sometimes, yeah.
That never feels like an orgasm to me.
No, me neither. Not those two
it
things
feels
are quite
better
different.
Sometimes.
It feels good to pee after not having peed. I'll grant you there. But
my unprofessional opinion says that definitely get that checked out.
Get it checked out. I agree with you. What's up there, Rebecca? You're on with Fred Durst.
Hi. First of all, I want to say I love you and what you do in your show. I've been listening for such a long time. And where did Adam go? Because I haven't listened for like 2 months.
Who cares?
He took over Stern's job on the West Coast.
Oh, he did.
Whatever.
Huh?
All right. Well, my question is, I have been going over this guy's house for a while. It's just a party house, basically. I've been there, going there every weekend. And one night, I ended up sleeping with the guy. I was on a whole bunch of different stuff, and I ended up sleeping with him. And now I'm going over there. I know he likes me, and he invites me over a lot. And I go over there, and he, like, won't even, like, kiss me. I've slept in his bed. You know, stayed the night with him, but he won't even, like, attempt to do anything with me. Stop.
Wait, I'm confused. He has had sex with you, or he has not?
We have.
And then he's continued to invite you over and to have you spend the night, but you only had that one encounter?
Yes.
But she also said, you said it's a party house.
Well, yeah, it's, a bunch of kids live there and no parents, basically. But,
weird.
I mean, I was on, like, five different things. I was drinking, smoking, whatever, and then I ended up sleeping with him. So, and then after that, I mean, we never had any ties together besides me just coming over when everybody else, you know, was coming over, whatever, all my friends and stuff. And
so do you come over when your friends invite you, or do you invite yourself, or does he actually reach out to you and invite you over?
He does now after we slept together.
And yet...
I was going over there because my friends were going over there, and now that... And that was just like a weekend thing, like when I was partying and stuff.
How long ago did you guys sleep together?
About a month ago.
And how many times have you stayed over there since?
7 or 8.
And he hasn't laid a finger on you in that time?
No, I don't know, we sleep in the same bed, and he won't even, like, attempt to kiss me, and I'm too scared to even make a move. Like, the only reason I did is because I was drunk.
What are you afraid of?
I don't know.
Have you asked him why there's been nothing since that first time?
No.
Do you want us to call him?
It's too much of an uncomfortable subject, I guess. I don't know, it's weird.
Do you want us to give him a call tonight?
No.
Why not? No. You got to
be awesome.
There's no way we can know what's going on here until we talk to him. It's a very strange.
He's going to think I'm weird because I'm calling a radio show about it.
How dare you, Rebecca? How dare you?
What do you mean? He's probably sleeping anyway.
Consider calling us weird. Temerity.
Does your radar tell you if a guy likes you or not?
I'm weird. I know he likes me. Because he wouldn't invite me over. We wouldn't stay up all night talking and stuff like that, you know?
It's not too unusual, though, because I've had relationships where I would be with a girl and not do anything with her. I could sleep in the same bed and nothing at all for a long
time. Did you have a girlfriend at that time?
No.
Were you afraid of getting too involved with her kind of thing? So you had to hold it back?
I was afraid that if I did something...
She'd want to be involved.
No, that I would... Something would happen and some... The reality would come over my eyes, and I would feel guilty about it.
You feel guilty?
I would feel guilty.
And that would, what, bring you further in, in a relationship?
No, it would push me away.
Away. So there are, I agree with what Fred's saying, is that there can be very, very unique and specific reasons that a guy can have for doing this. It's unusual, but let's put it this way. There's a reason. There's a reason he's behaving this way.
Okay, maybe because I have a daughter. Because he's 21 and I'm 20. And I have a 2-year-old.
And maybe he feels guilty because he got involved with mom here, and who knows what he's screwing with other two people's lives rather than just one. There's a reason. I would say guilt is probably the number 1, 2, and 3 reasons that guys behave like this. Now, the fact that he continues to have you over and all, kind of funny, but you're going to have to talk with him. If you won't let us talk to him, you're going to have to talk to him.
Bring it up, I guess, because...
Yes, ma'am.
Know.
You're afraid what the answer is, I'm sure. That's why you don't want to bring it up. But you deserve some kind of explanation about what's up here.
Yeah.
Because it is unusual.
It's kind of weird that, I mean, he won't even, like, attempt to sleep with me when I already have, you know?
And is he a gentleman?
Rejection or something.
Go ahead, Fred.
He could maybe be a gentleman. Maybe that night you guys were both on substance and really kind of tanked up. Maybe something happened and... You know, maybe it wasn't time for him, and maybe he wasn't the kind of guy that something would happen with anyway. That could also be a case. He could just be being a gentleman.
Could be a good guy.
Could be
a
good guy.
He is a good guy. I'm thinking, I don't know.
Do you bring drugs over?
There's drugs there.
Do you bring drugs over?
No, he sells. There's just drugs there. I don't bring them over.
By the way. We're withdrawing the good guy thing for a second here. He sells drugs.
He is a good guy.
Are you sure? Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
My bad.
Are you just a customer? Do you come and spend a lot of money there?
No, I don't spend any money there. I don't spend money there.
You got to go find out what this is. And you got to call us back when you figure it out, okay? Seriously, okay. We're interested in that. And if you want to hold and think about us giving him a call, look at a drug dealer. The guy doesn't have the most delicate sensibilities on earth. We could call him.
Okay,
wouldn't be that big a deal.
Listen, he's trying to keep a roof over him and his
Yeah. Of course. And I mean, everyone knows if you really are having trouble maintaining your household, you got to sell drugs. That's what everyone would do. Or strip or be a prostitute. Those are your three choices, basically. So, Rebecca, you think about whether you want us to give him a call. We might violate his delicate sensibilities, but I think not.
Fred. Getting a real job would really be just too difficult.
How dare you, Fred? How dare you? How dare you? Everyone knows you got to sell drugs to keep a roof over your head. How dare you? Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Fred's company is Flawless, Ringside, Puddle of Mud coming in tomorrow night. Limp Bizkit, of course, from Days of Yore. Working on a film called The Education of Charlie Banks, and also another film that's in the queue and a TV show that I'm very interested in. Can we give the name of that one?
We already did a few times, but we don't need to do that anymore.
But know that I've got to be a technical consultant for that one.
You're hired.
Thank you. Phone number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Please give us a call. Fred Durst, Dr. Drew, we'll be right back.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
everybody. It's Loveline. Fred Durst, Dr. Drew. We're going to take over the world here. It's what we decided.
Yes.
But first, we're going to take care of some of your calls. And we're going to hear an Oasis song coming up in just a second. Right now, this is Adriana.
Yes.
Hey, what's up? You're on Fred Durst.
What up, man?
Hello, it's my daughter's name.
Adriana?
Oh. Adriana.
Weird, cool. Huh? I got to say, we have not had that name. I don't remember seeing that name up on that board.
Wow.
Really?
Isn't that weird?
All right.
So what's happening?
That's dope. All right. Well, I play baseball. I'm like a hardcore baseball fan. So I turned 18, and there was no more park leagues for me because it was all up to 18. So I started playing in adult leagues. And through that, I started playing in one team, and I met a guy. And it was, we started off, like, on the cold side. He would ignore me. I would ignore him. He would think I was conceited, and I would think the same about him. So out of nowhere, I called him just to say what's up and why he couldn't make it to a game. So he kind of got the idea that I kind of liked him. Like, 2 days after, we were hitting it off. Like, cool. Like,
hey, Adriana.
Did he ever use a baseball bat on you? Because why the baseball story?
Excuse me?
There's many, many details here that I wondered that same thing about. But the question...
Today, Junior!
The question is...
Oh, he lost interest really fast.
Okay, that's something guys do. That's something guys do. What's your question?
Why was it that he lost interest?
I don't know. We'd have to talk to him. But guys do that all the time. And girls do that all the time,
really?
Too. As I'm not going to blame guys exclusively for this one. It's something that people do, especially at young ages like yourself. This is Ryan. Ryan is 13, Fred.
Oh, my gosh.
My girlfriend doesn't like to kiss me in front of her friends. Hello?
Oh, no, Ryan, we are with you, buddy.
We are, brother.
So your girlfriend doesn't like to kiss you. You know what? How old is she?
She's 13, too.
Brian? Dude, our hearts go out to you. We never want to be 13 ever again. It's the hardest thing. And there's all kinds of funny feelings about how you're perceived by your peers. You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
You're really concerned about how your friends see you. And so something like holding hands or being affectionate in public, that's a big deal for a 13-year-old. And I know it's something that's comfortable for you and something you'd like to do, but that's not common for a 13-year-old. That's kind of unusual. And so your girlfriend not wanting to be sort of affectionate among other people kind of makes sense for most 13-year-olds, I think. Not saying there's anything wrong with what you're doing, but it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with her either. Fred, you agree with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, you sound like a good guy. And I think just because she doesn't want to kiss in front of her friends is, you know, she just doesn't want her friends to know too much about what she does in that area, you know, and I think there's totally nothing wrong with it, man, and just go with it and let it be what it is, and I think it'll work itself out.
Tell us about this relationship. How long have you been going out? What do you guys do together?
We go to the movies. I take her out to eat sometimes. So it's a good relationship.
Where do you guys go to eat?
I don't know.
Like, where do you like going? Where do you like taking her?
What's one of the places? I can't remember it.
Oh.
How long have you been going out with her?
Since the fifth grade.
Ooh, my goodness. It's about a long one.
Wow.
Did she used to like to kiss you in public?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Well, I mean, you know what? Again, that is not necessarily a bad sign because, again, as soon as she hits like 12, 13, all of a sudden it feels different than when you were 9 or 10.
Does she hold your hand in public in front of her friends?
Yeah, that she don't care, but she just won't kiss me in front of her friends.
Are you really 13 or are you 12?
I'm 13.
Okay. Well, buddy.
See you, Virgin.
This is the greatest call we've had. I really think that this is a good one.
Give him a little pep talk.
I don't know, man. I got a huge smile on my face, and so does Dr. Drew. And we're sitting here, and we're feeling for you. And you know, if it would make you happier, in my book, I wish you would just kiss you in front of her friends. But You know, I truly think what Dr. Drew thinks, it's not that big of a problem right now.
And this stuff will work itself out. Just, it's not, and whatever it feels like in terms of it having never happened to anybody else before or it being the end of the world, neither is true. It's all going to work out.
And the more you act like you don't really, it doesn't bother you so much. And
the more she'll want to do it.
The more she might want to do it.
Learn that lesson from Fred. This now is Kaylee, 19. Kaylee, what's going on?
Hi. I just want to say hello, Dr. Drew and Fred.
Hi, Kaylee.
Having a good night.
We are indeed.
Okay, my question is about a little sexual mishappening, I guess you could say. My partner and I, we consistently switch between vaginal and anal sex, but we always change the condom in between.
19. All right.
The bacteria risk.
Yes, yes.
So when we're switching positions and he tells me I got to grab another condom, I'm assuming he's throwing this one away. And this, we do this one more time, switch again. So when a couple days later I'm using the restroom, I have a condom that comes out in me. And I can't find the other one either. And
he keeps like depositing condoms in you?
I don't think he even knew where it went or something. Like, he just tried to cover it up. Like, he was embarrassed. Like, where did it
not
go?
Kaylee, he just didn't want to break his rhythm. Are you kidding? It's like, hold on. Tip. All right, here we go.
I know. I couldn't feel it. Oh, you know, they're pretty thin sometimes.
Let me just to fill out this picture entirely here.
Uh-huh.
You were having a bowel movement and magically a condom appeared?
No. It was actually, I had urinated and it had come out.
Of the vagina?
Yes.
Just want to know where he deposited this stuff.
Yeah, well, I couldn't feel it.
Yeah, I know. We got that part.
So, you could, I mean, I didn't
Here's
know.
The problem. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Leaving debris behind like that can cause toxic shock syndrome.
That's what I wonder, because this came out like 3 days later.
So, oh my. So you need to give your boyfriend a proper tongue lashing. Or
we've already had our argument over it. That's
not, yeah.
We already had a talk about it. But I was just wondering, what are even the possibilities of pregnancy from this, if any?
Very real, right? He could have had a little pre-cum or a little pre-ejaculate there.
I didn't know how, you know, exactly what the timing was on this, so.
On what?
On how long sperm can survive in a condom if it's inside you or.
If he actually had ejaculated, then you're getting the whole load, so to speak.
Well, he had.
And even if he hadn't, there's still some pre-ejaculate
There's just always a risk.
Yes, there's always a risk. And so if you had known, you would have taken the morning after pill the next morning.
Well, but I didn't know.
You didn't know. So you could have, A, gotten pregnant, B, gotten toxic shock. So you need to bust this guy's chops pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't had any symptoms, like any pain
or
anything.
Kaylee, what kind of relationship is this? This guy doesn't give a rat's ass about you.
Well, we've been friends for years, and we've been having physical contact for about 7 or 8 months now. And this time we just happened to be a little drunk.
It sounds like you're just some sort of toy for him. It's like he just uses you for this and for that and deposits a little condom, a little semen. Yeah, here we go. I'm just worried about you, Kaylee. That's all. I'm just concerned about this. It doesn't feel good. It's okay. I'm like, my crystal ball, by the way, looks okay. Strangely enough, I see the future and it's not too bad for Kaylee. But you could have a few mishaps along the way if you're not going to take care of yourself.
Well, it's a very casual. We're basically friends with benefits.
But the point is the benefits are all being accrued on his side. Mm-hmm. Yours are sort of limited. Friends with limited benefits on your part. All right.
Okay. Well, I was just curious about what, because I didn't realize toxic shock was a symptom of having that happen.
You go to college now? You go to college?
Yes, I do actually.
Kansas.
Two majors and a minor.
University of Kansas?
Yes, Kansas State.
Kansas State.
University of Kansas is in Lawrence.
Yeah. Kansas State's got Aggietown, right?
Oh, yes. I'm actually at work in Aggieville right now.
Aggieville. Yes. Well, good times, Kaylee. Just slow it down. Think about things. Use that good judgment you actually have, okay? Please?
Okay.
All right, my dear.
Thank you.
Okay. Happiness, thy name is Kaylee.
You know, maybe he would have said, you know, that I was missing that condom, you know. I don't know, maybe. I don't know where it went. It's not in the sheets, it's not on the floor, and it's not on my penis.
You know what? The thinking didn't even go that far.
Yeah.
It just, need new condom.
Old one inside, need new one.
All right, old one, who knows? Who cares? Move on. I want to hear an Oasis song. How about you, Fred?
I actually do.
All right. You introduce this song for us.
I want to play this song because it's just really doing good for me these last few months of my life, and it's off their new album, Don't Believe the Truth. This song is called Love's Like a Bomb.
Is Oasis.
Love that one. That song happened at Red Gate. Who knows that one? I know he's listening right now.
I am already getting excited about tomorrow night.
I am too.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. We're going to have Puddle of Mud and Ringside in here performing acoustically and on the organ. It's going to be interesting. You got to tune in and hear this.
Yeah.
Real quickly, we're going to hear from Monique. Monique. Oh, she's not there.
Mm.
Let's try Shane very quickly. Shane?
Yeah?
Hey, what's up, Shane? Another 13-year-old.
What's up, Dr. Drew? Long-time fan, first-time caller.
Cool, Shane.
Well,
At 13, how long can you have been a fan? Just curious, because I've been doing this show twice your lifespan. Which doesn't make me feel good, by the way.
And Drew, this guy, kid's the same age as that Ryan kid.
No, I know. That's why I took the call. I think it's interesting. 13 is a very interesting age. When you can either be...
He sounds different.
Developmentally different.
Already.
But Shane, I'll tell you what. I want you to hold on a second, buddy. We're going to take a little break, okay?
Okay.
We'll come right back to you and your girlfriend problems. Fred Durst in here with us tonight. I'm Dr. Drew, 1-800-LOVE-191. Fred and I will be right back.
Yeah, Love Line.
Love Line will be right back.
We'll be right back.
going back to Shane here with Fred Durst. Shane is 13. What's up, Shane?
Well, to answer your question, I consider a long time, like 2 years or more. I've been listening for
okay.
like four.
Fair enough, buddy. Fair enough.
Right. Well, she's not my girlfriend, but if she's listening, just want to know I love her. And, well, she likes me and I like her. And, like, she really got hurt by this other guy, which personally I would love to kill. But,
Shane, just stay focused on what we can do to help you, buddy.
All right. Well, like, she's not sure what she should do with her relationships because she's had problems, obviously, and I want to know what I could do to help her.
Well, I suspect you're getting in one of these situations where you're the nice guy and you're rescuing her from this bad guy that treats her like crap, yet magically she always goes back to that guy.
Oh, she broke up with that guy. She even realized.
I'm just saying, you expect her to go back to him. Just expect it.
Okay.
That's sort of a common pattern that people get into. If they themselves had, if she, say, had an abusive dad, she will magically gravitate towards these abusive guys, supernova the relationship, but still go back. She'll try to be with guys like you that are the nice guy who are very willing to rescue and are interested in rescuing her, and then are wondering when she goes back to the guy that treats her like crap, why nice guys always get screwed. That's the pattern. It may or may not be what happens to you, but that's certainly a common pattern.
I'm back in that.
She doesn't even want to go out with anyone because she thinks that relationships are pointless. Someone will just end up getting hurt.
Well, she has a point because that it's the only variable in this that's fixed is her, and she keeps picking people that make sure she get hurt. She could actually be with you, as you well know, and you treat her like a princess. But she's not interested in that. She keeps going for the chaos. And that is that pattern, again, of people needing to or being attracted by the person that reminds them of someone that causes them great terror and discomfort in childhood. It's amazing the way humans do that. But we do it. Mike, what's up? You're on with Fred.
Hey, Fred. How's it going, man?
It's good, man.
Hey, I was curious. That whole Oasis project that you're working on right now, is that the same same project from back in the day in mid-90s with Champagne Supernova, the song that they had out? Or is this a completely different band?
I'm a little confused, Mike. I just played an Oasis song because I really liked it. I'm not really working with Oasis, which I'd really like to. I'm actually, I'm sorry, dude. I'm not working with them.
Oh, he's just a fan.
No, just a fan. No, it's all good.
He's working with Ringside, though. We like them.
Yeah, and she wants
revenge. They're on tomorrow, right?
Yeah. She wants revenge. I've mentioned She Wants Revenge tonight. They're great.
Yeah, they'll be on tomorrow night with Puddle of Mud and myself and Dr. Drew.
Well, right on, man. Working this graveyard thing. I listen to you guys all the time. I think you're great, Dr. Drew. Never been on the radio before. And if I ever have some questions for you, I know where to go, right?
This is it, Mike.
Right on.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Keep it up. Bye.
All right. This is Alex. Ooh, is Alex gone? Alex, you there?
Hey.
Alex?
Yeah. I had a question about mushrooms.
Yep.
Do they damage the brain a lot?
Well, no, not a lot.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, sounds like they might have affected Alex a little bit. Oh, my goodness, we have a 65-year-old.
Yeah, Drew, we got to do that. We have, 3 minutes.
Okay. Okay, let me just answer really quickly. That not a lot is known about psilocybin and the mushrooms and how they affect the brain. I can just share with you that it seems, in my estimation, that any drug that causes hallucinations as a result of its direct effect on the brain seems to cause brain damage, probably through a mechanism called excitotoxicity, where there's an excessive release of your own brain's neurotransmitters. And in that situation, oftentimes the brain, little vesicles that the chemicals form in don't function well, so the chemicals get loose in the cell itself and form free radicals and destroy the cell. So it looks like that kind of thing happens with psilocybin, though it's not very toxic, and I'm surprised we don't see more toxicity given how widely used it is. Robert, 65. What's up?
This is not a bogus call. This is a real call.
We didn't say it was. You're on with Fred Durst.
Okay, I like to masturbate, and if I do it too often, it makes my testicles tingle in public. And I'm curious if there's any kind of a cream or an ointment that I can put on my testicles to keep them from tingling in public, because it's embarrassing.
Are you on any medication?
Yeah, I'm on high blood pressure medication, lisinopril, atenolol, and I'm also taking niacin for slightly high cholesterol.
So the high dose of niacin. And have you noticed either of those, have any of those medicines affected this whole symptomatology?
No. No, they have no effect on it.
So it's not as though this stuff began, these symptoms began after you started these medications. Because, you know, high-dose niacin causes all kinds of tingling, right? Yeah. Flushing and tingling.
This problem has gone long before I started taking this high blood pressure medication.
How often do you masturbate? You sound so young. You're 65?
Yes.
My goodness.
I don't know. I'm under surveillance by the police because they consider me to be, I could be a sex offender because my
testicles
tingle in public. My testicles tingle in public.
I think this is probably some kind of bit for something.
This is not a bogus call.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, we're listening.
Testicles tingle in
public. Testicles tingle in public. Yes.
It's like some band or something.
Is there any kind of an ointment or any kind of medication I'll put on my testicles to keep them from tingling in public because it's embarrassing?
Can we please get rid of this guy?
Okay, no. The answer is no.
That was really freaky for me. For some reason, I was feeling a bizarre energy there.
Yeah, I think the energy was real.
The sex offender thing.
Yeah, that's a little bit paranoid there. A little
okay.
Paranoid.
Yeah.
And Robert, no. No. Maybe masturbate a little less so your testicles don't tingle in public. All right, very quickly. This is Joe. What's up, Joe? We got just a few minutes here, a few seconds. Whoops, I accidentally pulled up Robert. Joe.
Yeah.
What's happening? Yeah.
Yeah, I have a quick question. My wife and I are going to start lifting weights, and she doesn't weigh a lot, but the thing is, when she had our daughter, I mean, her breasts and her booty became good size, and I don't want her to lose that. Is she going to, like, lose a lot of weight? Hello?
I'm trying to understand your question. Okay. How much does she weigh?
She weighs 200, she says.
Oh, yes, she's going to lose a lot of weight, hopefully, because it's not healthy for her to be 200 pounds. I don't care how tall she is, unless she's 7 feet tall. 200 is not a healthy weight. So, yes, we want her to lose some weight. She will lose some booty and some boob, no doubt, but you want her to be healthy, right, Joe? Right. So we'll get her to lose some weight and work out. She can't stop eating, though. The exercise, do not expect exercising to really cause you to shrink. You've got to stop the calorie intake because when you exercise, your body will adjust, but it's increasing the calorie intake. Got to diet properly. All right, Fred and I, we're going to take a little break again. We'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, Fred Durst, we're about done.
Sounds good. I love that background music, actually.
Another episode of Loveline. And we're going to love what's going to happen tomorrow night with more music with Ringside and Paula Mudd. Fred is kindly asking those guys in here to play for us acoustically and on the organ. Looking forward to it. It'll be very interesting. We'll try to corral them into doing some Loveline, too, while they're here.
That'd be great.
All right, then. Until then, it's Dr. Drew on behalf of Fred Durst saying good night and stay well.
My testicles tingle in public. Is there any kind of an ointment or any kind of medication I'll put on my testicles to keep them from tingling in public?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Gold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.